Welcome to the 20% True Podcast, Season 1, Modern Monsters, Episode 10, Tears. I'm Carolyn Rahaman. An old woman climbed the 807 steps of stone to the top of the mountain. Her knees shaking and knuckles white against a gnarled cane, she waded through the ring of worshippers, their foreheads marked with phoenix ash in the shape of a teardrop, pressed to the ground and raised to the clouds, pressed to the ground and raised to the clouds. Finally she entered the open-air pavilion, whose dome of glass and tile gleamed in the sun. She stopped on the first of three marble stairs leading to the raised dais. And there lay the phoenix. Her silky feathers shimmered like the dome above her in the shades of flame and autumn. Golden eyes spotted her tail like illuminated pages, and draped beside her, spilling down the stairs like the train of an evening gown. The phoenix raised her head, eyes glistening and wet as if a single blink would shed tears. The woman had come for those tears, as tears from a phoenix could cure any illness, any plague, any ailment of the blood or muscle. The tears could mend gashes and smooth burns. They could knit bone and ease aches. "My daughter is dying," the old woman began, her voice wavering through the speech she'd prepared. "Her laugh can light fires. Her sharp tongue can cut apples. And with one stern look, she can shame grown men into blushes. She looks at her neighbors and sees potential, ready to burst with one kind word placed with the precision of a sculptor. She has four small children, all under 10. All sweet and smart and kind. But she won't see them grow up. Won't see them build bridges and feed the hungry and fall in love. She won't see them cure the virus that killed their mother, or raise their own children to be sweet and smart and kind. She's a doctor at County Medical. She helps people. She heals them. She gives them hope. She works with the poor, with the downtrodden, with the dying. And now it's her time of need. Now she needs healing and hope. Her life can't be over when she has so much to offer, when she has so much left to do. Please," her voice broke over a sob, "please save her." The phoenix sat quietly, and she did not cry. She did not cry. The old woman sunk to her knees, her cane clattering against the marble. Three worshippers took her by the elbow and lifted her, leading her down the marble steps and down the 807 stairs to the base of the mountain. Tears streamed down the woman's face in a sheet of grief, and the worshippers brushed them away with warm, gentle hands. "She could save my daughter. Why won't the phoenix save her?" A man with broad shoulders and a tight, square jaw climbed the 807 steps of stone to the top of the mountain. He set his pace a bit too fast, but he did not slow, even though his legs burned by the time he reached the summit. He pushed through the ring of worshippers, their chanting buzzing like a swarm of bees, and entered the pavilion, with its columns sculpted like trees, or with trees used as columns, their branches like rafters. The man stopped on the second marble step and glared at the phoenix. Flames licked the tips of each of her feathers, giving the illusion of wind through her wings. She raised her head, her eyes heavy with sadness, ready to spill. The man had come for those tears, as tears from a phoenix could strengthen any fighter, any athlete, any soldier. The tears could quicken reflexes and bolster the power behind fists and feet. They increased stamina and heightened the senses. "Many people have come here," he said. "They've stood before you and told you their sob stories. They've opened old wounds and bled at your feet, hoping it would move you. For years and years, longer than anyone can remember, they've done this. They've come to you and begged and pleaded. I heard a whole town came once, and every single one of them told you how the drought was killing them, and you did nothing. I heard that starving children send you cards, pictures they've drawn of you in crayon, and you've done nothing. I heard a woman wrote a song, the saddest, most moving song anyone had ever heard, and brought a full orchestra up here to play it for you, and you did nothing. I wonder if you can cry. I wonder if you feel pity or empathy, if you're sorry at all that people are suffering, and you withhold your help. Maybe it's all a scam, stringing folks along, giving them false hope, and then dashing their dreams when you throw them down the mountain. Maybe you get a kick out of it. Maybe you're just a dumb animal and can't understand a damn thing anyone says. Maybe it's all rumor and lies. But then I wonder, if you can cry, if it is possible and those tears are magical? His face became hard, his jaw tight and square, his eyes dull. Then it seems to me people have been going about it the wrong way. Seems to me we'd better give you something to cry about. And he struck. Beating and grabbing, ringing and tearing, the bird screamed and the man shouted, his hands full of torn feathers, blood staining his sleeves. A wild cloud of smoke and plumage burst into the air as the phoenix flailed and struggled. He bit and clawed. She writhed and shoved, wing wrenched and sighed, blooming with pain. And she did not cry. She did not cry. A mob of worshippers hauled him back, grabbing his arms and legs and shirt as he kicked and fought, as he surged for another attack. They dragged him down the marble steps and wrestled him down the 807 stairs to the base of the mountain. Hot tears of frustration itched against the underside of his chin. The worshippers cleared the moisture away. "Why doesn't she cry?" he screamed. "Cold-hearted monster, why doesn't she cry?" The gangly girl tumbled up the 807 stairs to the top of the mountain, her fine hair slipping loose from her ponytail, her palms scraped and gravel sticking to her knees from all the time she tripped and caught herself against the stone. She slipped through the ring of worshippers, tiptoeing on sneakered feet between their colorful mats. She ducked into the pavilion, where the wind died and the air turned stagnant and heavy, heated by the phoenix. Her tail spread behind her, unfolding with the delicate clicks of a folding fan with 1,000 moving parts. The crest on her head lifted to attention, a bead of gold on the end of each feather, flickering like an ember. The girl considered the bird with head cocked, then hopped onto the third marble stair and plopped down to sit cross-legged before the bird. The phoenix raised her head so she was taller than the girl, her eyes shining and quivering, her neck long and lean. They stared at one another for a long moment, the phoenix patient for the girl's plea, the girl studying the phoenix's crest with open curiosity. At last the girl said, "I don't get it. People down the mountain are upset you won't cry at their stories. But you're on fire. Wouldn't the tears just evaporate? Do birds even have tear ducts?" The phoenix blinked twice in rapid succession. Her plumage puffed along her shoulders, then relaxed like a tide rising and falling. She flicked her head in a rattle of crest feathers and warbling heat. The girl was not sure the bird understood her. She narrowed her eyes. "Has anyone ever asked you for a sad story?" The phoenix looked at the girl askew. The girl waited, patient, attentive, sitting cross-legged on the marble. The phoenix shifted, intelligence slipping into her features. She leaned to the side to look at the worshippers. Their eyes closed and hands raised to the clouds. Subtle and discreet, she raised a wing, unfolding it with the delicate clicks of a folding fan with 1,000 moving parts, spreading like the spill of an evening gown. Flame flickered and licked at her edges, like wind through feathers, though the air was still heavy and close. Lifting her wing revealed a talon tucked against her belly, revealed claws of gold and raw bruises of purple. Revealed a manacle locked tight around her foot, attached to the dais with a thick iron chain. "Oh," the girl breathed. The phoenix folded her wing back into place, once again the image of sleek feathers shimmering in the light, of fire and heat and grace. Her eyes swung to the worshippers, then away. And she did not cry. She did not cry. But the girl did. Quiet, vivid tears that tumbled down her cheeks. She caught one on the tip of her forefinger, a second on the tip of her middle finger, a third, a fourth. She looked down at her hand. "Tears from a phoenix are magic," she said, working it through, puzzling it together. She reached out, reached under the phoenix's wing. She clasped the iron manacle, and it disintegrated, wet and crumbling. She clasped the bruises, and they faded and soothed. The phoenix burst into flames, throwing the girl down the three marble stairs with a blast of heat. The worshippers surged to their feet, waving their arms, shouting, leaping. But the phoenix burst free, a meteor hurtling from the pavilion, shattering the ceiling into rain of glass and tile, bending the tree branch columns with a groan, scorching the marble stairs. "What have you done?" the worshippers cried, reaching for the clouds, clawing at their faces, collapsing to the ground. The girl wiped one last tear from her cheek, sucking it off her thumb. Salt and sorrow brought her strength as they turned on her. The 20% True podcast was written and produced by me, Carolyn Rahaman. If you like the show, please consider rating or subscribing on iTunes. It helps new people find the show. If you'd like to chat about this episode, ask questions, or air grievances, visit the Facebook page, facebook.com/20percenttrue, or visit the website, 20percenttrue.blogspot.com, for updates, thoughts on writing, and book reviews, or follow me on Twitter at Carrie and the Hits.